And for everyone in the room, we ask that if you do need to eat during the meeting, please eat quietly in the back of the room. For those in person, please take a meeting to silence to turn off your cell phones and do not connect to the room's Wi-Fi. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation. And for those who wish to join us in saying the Serenity Prayer, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will not mine,
be done.
Amen. All right, well, I assume I'm not alone this evening. But for the record, are there any other compulsive eaters at this meeting other than myself? All right, I can hear you all. We're just screaming away. The We Care folder will be circulating in the room for the duration of the meeting. The first time for you to list your name, telephone number, and email, and the rest for you to take names and phone numbers to call during the week. If you are joining us remotely, please use the meeting's chat function as a virtual We Care book and enter your first name, phone number, times available for phone calls, and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the HOW format. We will then add you to the We Care book that is being circulated in the room. A copy of this list can be sent to you via email after the meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Would someone please read What is HOW?
This is Christina O. HOW is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive overeating and the beginning of a spiritual life.
Can you also read where and why did HOW begin?
Sure. HOW began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers on the concept of service. Many of the questions used in HOW sponsoring stem from the OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County, New York Sponsors Guide.
Thank you. Would someone please read the only requirement?
Hi, this is Kelly. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
I don't know how to turn my video on, so it,
bottom left corner. There you are.
Thank you. My name is Kelly. I'm a compulsive overeater from Pennsylvania. Overeaters
Hi,
Anonymous.
Kelly.
Hi, everyone. Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the HOW concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this afternoon by those who share are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, we understand the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance and participation at OA meetings anywhere, anytime. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he, she is a member is a member. We of Overeaters Anonymous welcome all members with open arms. Thank you.
Hey, would someone please read the how concept?
Hello, this is Michelle C.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi. The how concept. Overeaters Anonymous how meetings have been formed to offer the compulsive overeater who accepts the 12 steps and 12 traditions as a program of recovery, a disciplined and structured approach. How groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer any sustained abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of the program and the 12 steps and 12 traditions as necessary for our recovery. In OA, how our daily action plan is outlined in the structured use of each of the other tools. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the how of the program. We pray that the collective group conscience and the love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us, and that the how ideals will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence to the program as it's written in our literature. The Tuesday evening meeting also firmly understands that our recovery has begun through abstinence, and the taking of the first 3 steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery, offer us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our life. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive overeating by being forever aware that our group is doing for us, that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understand him, open our minds and our hearts to the love that is manifested on this meeting. Amen.
Thank you. Would someone please read Reflections for the Newcomer? I believe that's Kelly F.
I'll do it. Oh.
There okay. You are. Thanks.
Okay. Hi, Kelly. Oh, sorry. I'm on 2 things, signing people up. Okay. Sorry about that. Hi, Kelly, compulsive overeater in Southern California. Reflections for the newcomer. Welcome to OA How. We are so glad that you have decided to become a part of our fellowship. You know that the How concept is a discipline program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based on the universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord, even with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. The newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility. The sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. The newcomer should show a lack of a commitment. The sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. Doctor's opinion, Big Book, page XXVI, paragraph 2. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of shelf deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor, in all self-honesty, must release all sponsees to continue his own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he does not experience. Finally, you must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery depends on our meetings. A body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is the most powerful restorative. The Family Afterward, Big Book, page 133, paragraph 2. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the relief from the obsession so many of us have. God bless, and no matter what, keep coming back. We'll always be here for you. Pass.
Great. Thanks, Kelly. Would someone please read an excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12?
So this is Abby B. in Maryland. I'll read.
Hold on. Was Jane S. still here?
Yeah, we have Jane signed up.
Oh, sorry about that. I was just trying to be helpful.
No, Abby, if you're a sponsor, we'll need you. So hang tight. Okay.
This is Jane, compulsive overeater. This is reading number 5, excerpt from step 2 of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, page 9 to 11, starting at paragraph 2. When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we have acted in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We have dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We have frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We have stolen food from our friends, family, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We have also stolen money to buy food. We have eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We have continued to overeat, knowing all the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we have turned ourselves into objects of ridicule and have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We brought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas and had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive systems. We had our ears stapled or our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping we could someday have our cake and eat it too. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than with the other diets we'd been on. The doctors gave us shots and pills. Those worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again, putting back on the weight we had worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting with or without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, or excessive exercise. We'd stuff food in our mouths until we were in physical pain, and then we'd get rid of it. We damaged our digestive systems and our teeth while we starved our bodies of nutrients needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our ideal size, but nothing permanently solved our problem. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, we became battle-weary and discouraged. Still, we could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of being obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought about suicide. Some of us tried it. Most of us, however, never reached suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in a feeling that everything was all right as long as we got enough to eat. The only trouble was that as our compulsive eating progressed, it became harder for us to get enough. Instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we suffered, yet we continued to overeat. Our true insanity could be seen in the fact that we kept right on trying to find comfort in excess food long after it began to cause us misery. Pass.
Thank you so much. And let's see, I believe it's, can Carrie read How It Works, the excerpt from chapter 5 of the book of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Hi, my name is Carrie, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves over to this simple program, usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those too who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with food, cunning, baffling, and powerful. Without help, it is too much for us, but there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at a turning point. We ask his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery.
Great, thanks, Carrie. Would Michelle C. please read the 12 steps of recovery?
Hi, yes, again, this is Michelle with Compulsive Overeater.
Hi, Michelle, can you turn on your video?
No, thank you.
Okay, that's fine.
I'd rather not. The 12 steps. Step one, we admit we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God and to ourselves and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all the persons that we have harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will, of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order! I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. And with that, I pass.
Great. Thanks, Michelle.
Yep.
And would someone please read the 12 traditions of the program?
Hi, this is Carrie, still a compulsive overeater. One, our common welfare should come first. Recovery depends on OA unity. Tradition two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Tradition three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Tradition four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Tradition five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. Tradition six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Tradition seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Tradition eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Tradition nine, OA ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Tradition 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Tradition 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. Tradition 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Great, thank you so much. The tools of recovery. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous is a program of recovery. Webster's Dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program which help us to recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used. So too with our tools of recovery. I will ask that house sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Would someone be willing to be the timekeeper? I think that's for you guys in the room, and then virtual participants will receive timing prompts in the chat box. So first up is abstinence plan of eating. Is there someone who can volunteer for abstinence plan of eating? An OA How 2 hour sponsor?
I can do that.
Great, thanks Howard.
Hi, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Howard.
Hi there. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The How disciplines were designed for food addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. How abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in How. This means that we depend upon each other for the strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals with nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called into our sponsor, and committed so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the HOW program concepts use the following guidelines for food plans. Number one, we do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge foods. If some food is on our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. Number two, unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food plan in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call a sponsor. Number three, we weigh and measure all our portions so that there is no guesswork. We do not measure by eye. We use a measuring cup, spoon, and a scale. And let me explain this a little bit. So we have a lot of inputs. So this is a simple manual scale, which is really hard to get out. So you eat less. And yeah, I don't use one of these, so you can probably guess. So they're good for on the road. They're good for in a plane and a train and a bus. Because they're not too sensitive. They're a little easier when you're in motion. So you just zero it out and you put your measurement in here. I weigh everything. So I'm good at weighing and make sure that things are zeroed out and are getting really accurate readings. Some people still use these things, which are measuring cups. The idea is to be consistent. If you like to really fluffer or stuffer, I don't even know. I'm not even sure what that is, but these drove me crazy because I would like measure rice and like one grain of rice would be above the line a little bit and I just could never get it right. So I worked it out with my sponsor so that I can weigh my rice rather than use a cup. And there's also an electronic scale, which is I find it the best. I've actually worn a couple of these out. And this way you can zero things out. You can build a meal. I actually have a scale that has a plug, so I can plug it in. And I set it up so it doesn't time out. So, which has helped me in a lot of things. If I'm not sure if I've weighed something properly, oftentimes it's the last thing I weighed and it's still on here. So that's really helpful to have it not time out. And here's a tool, a straight edge to make sure things are flat and even. And what else? And a phone. There's a phone. I'm still explaining. Okay. So here's a phone. This is also a big part of our abstinence kit. So this is a WE program. So if there's an issue, you call someone up. You call a sponsor up. If it's a simple change, I call my sponsor. If I don't reach my sponsor or another sponsor, I try two more times, and then it's okay. But if it's complicated, if like something is spilled or I've eaten the wrong thing by mistake, I make sure I get a hold of someone and work things out with someone else. That has really been helpful for me when I started. We weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight and once a week on maintenance. Five, unless advised otherwise by your doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. Six, we do not drink alcohol. Seven, we do not use foods containing sugar, except if sugar is listed fifth or beyond on the ingredients label. Above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that counts. It is the decision to take it. I was talking to someone earlier today and trying to explain that moment that I just was willing to do this, willing to take that first step of abstinence. And I think for me, it was, you know, that first time I was willing to call a sponsor and say, can you help me? You know, before that, you know, it was, I kind of dabbled in the program for a year. I really didn't get it. I would come to meetings for a while. I'd skip a few meetings. And I wasn't sure if this is for me. I thought I could figure things out. That was my thing. I could figure this out and work through this out. And if I work through my problems and my emotional issues and my, all the stuff, then the food would be okay. And that just never worked for me. I was in therapy since I was like 11 years old. I was like one of these kids, you know, the family was kind of goofy. So they just said, well, Howard needs to go to therapy and you know, we'll work. He's the one that's going to have to go. So anyway, so I went to therapy I was in like therapy from 11 till in my 20s. And I probably got something out of it, but it never helped me with my food. As I started getting deeper and deeper in my food addiction, therapy didn't help me. I was beyond a point where I was going to figure this out, where it was an emotional issue. It was now an addiction. It was now something I was trapped in. And you know, taking that first step of abstinence was actually willing to ask someone to sponsor me and help me set up my food plan and weighing and measuring. And this was even before Hal. I mean, I started before Hal was here, but it was very Hal-like that my sponsor told me, you know, to weigh and measure my food, to commit my food to her every day for the following day. And I was just willing to do it. And for you know, the moment before that, I wasn't willing to. And I don't know exactly what it was, but it was probably that, I mean, the only thing I can describe it is that I just saw other people do it. And I had that foundation. I saw other people succeed with abstinence and working the program and working the steps. And I finally said, okay, I'm gonna do this. And I kind of had that experience that I had seen in the meeting up until that point. And so I was just ready at that moment. And I think it's so important that we have something that's clear and defined. And so someone can call and says, I'm willing to do this. What do I do? And we have a way of doing this. You know, we have a clear definition and guidelines for doing this. Work with a dietitian and nutritionist, create a food plan each day, commit it, and then follow that plan. And it's just a simple way of defining abstinence. And I think it's really valuable. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Howard.
Thank you, Howard. Thanks, Howard. So our next tool is sponsorship. We have an OA How 2-hour sponsor who can talk and pitch on sponsorship. If you don't have the reading, I can do that for you. Any takers for sponsorship?
Hi, I'll do it. This is Abby B in Maryland. I don't have the app loaded, so I can't turn on my,
my
video. So you'll just have to envision me. Dear Abby in Maryland. Abby compulsive
overeater. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Trying to bring some humor. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A HOW sponsor is a compulsive overeater who's completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who's taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Hold on a second, I have to cough. Reflections to the sponsor, suggestions for discussion. No list of reflections and meditations are end-alls and be-alls for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive not only to what the new person is saying, but also what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HAL program. It's not the extra string bee that is the problem. It's the decision to have it that results in some trouble. The HAL concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring our food, sponsors, meetings, phone calls, reading and writing, service, and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. And is it 2 minutes or 3 minutes?
3 minutes.
Okay,
and good. I'll tell you when there's 1 minute left and then when your time is up.
Okay, thank you. This is a really important tool, and I relapsed and came back to OA and then also came back to HAL. And this is so important. I mean, in HAL we sponsor, we carry our program to others, and it's a requirement in HAL that we are sponsored. And the most important thing I saw here today was that, you know, we ask for help, we don't do it by ourselves. And, you know, in terms of whether we're the clarity of our abstinence is whether we've asked for help. A lot of times, you know, you leave something out of your food plan and you realize it, you call the sponsor, and it's you don't do it by yourself. So we work with a sponsor. So for people who are brand new to OA and new to OA HAL, I keep repeating myself, it's so important. Because, you know, when I used to be at home with the bags or the box, you know, the frozen, I don't know if we say food here, but with the junk food, or if I was alone in the car with fast food, I wasn't asking for help. I was just trying to cope with my life problems with food. Or if maybe I had just been triggered by something and I didn't even know what was going on. So now we reach out. In HAL, we have our daily commitment to our sponsor call and to our sponsees. And this, again, is about a discipline that we have adopted. This is one of the disciplines I refer to it that way, that we've identified a time that we can commit to our sponsor and to our sponsees, and that brings order. And we're sharing our commitment to the steps of the program by doing that. And the last thing I just want to say, there's so much here, and I'm a little distracted, but we do not have the right to play God. And I think this is really important, especially when you're new or you're coming back, that our sponsors are not God. They're helping us. They're holding our hands, just like, I don't know, many meetings we end with, I put the Roseanne prayer or put my hand in yours. That this is how it works. This is, you know, this is how the AA program was started. People who could understand each other helped each other, and that's the only way that we're able to keep the food down, you know, to keep away from it's not the only way, but anyway. But I think it's really important for us to remember that our sponsors are just like us and our sponsees are just like us, that we're not higher power. There's no higher power, and if we're afraid of our sponsor, it's important to get honest with them, and then they can help us because they've been there. Not that they're God. So somehow that's very important for me today. So I'm going to leave it at that. Thanks. Abby, compulsive eater in Maryland.
Thanks, Abby. We appreciate that. Okay, so will all sponsors, HAL and OA, please join me in sharing the following. How long in OA or HAL, and how much weight lost or gained in OA or HAL? This is not time for sharing for sponsors. Please, counselors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. So we'll start in the room, and then remote sponsors are invited to share by clicking the raise hand button and turning on your video camera or just turning on your video. When it is your turn to share, you will hear your name and see a you are please turn off your video as the meeting moderator remutes your line. Sponsors join us on the phone. Joining us on the phone, please wait for a pause in the line and press star and six on your telephone keypad. So, to Howard in the room.
Hi, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater. I'm a sponsor in the late shift. I've been abstaining a little over 33 years. I have 18 years and about 4 months of abstinence in OA. How I've gained 10 pounds and a little bit of sanity. Carrie?
Go ahead, Kristen.
Hi.
We can see you, we just can't hear you, Kristen.
Oh, Kristen. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm Kirsten P., a compulsive overeater. My abstinence date is June 18th, 2001. I'm maintaining about a 60-pound weight loss. Pass.
Thanks.
Jane?
Hi, I'm Jane, compulsive overeater. I joined regular OA 7 years ago and had about 2 years of abstinence back to back in regular OA. But that was about in the middle, and that was not recently. I joined HAL on September 19th, 2019, and have been abstinent ever since. And I just became a new sponsor, and I got a sponsee right away, so I don't have any openings. But my name is Jane. I'm in Canada, Pacific Standard Time, and my number is 250-913-0319. Thanks.
Hiya.
I don't know if I'm unmuted. I am unmuted.
Yes, you are. We can hear you.
Okay. Hi, everybody. This is Chaya, compulsive overeater, recovering compulsive overeater and bulimic in Denver, Colorado. I'm going to tell my story. I'm the speaker tonight, so I'm not going to go into all my details, except that I'm very grateful to be a two-hour HAL sponsor. I have 6 months and 5 days of back-to-back HAL abstinence, and I am not available.
Thanks.
Rebecca?
Oh boy, my turn. All right. So my name is Rebecca B. I'm a compulsive eater in Ohio, and I have been in OA for 5 years, lost the weight in 2, then decided to snowball into relapse for another 2, and took 6 months to crawl my way back into and ended up being an OA HAL in February 2019. I have 40 days of back-to-back abstinence. And I have, first I lost 110, gained 70 in relapse, and now I am down probably 50 from that top weight of the 70 pounds. I do have an opening for someone who needs to get started. My name again is Rebecca B. in Ohio, and it's 440-567-6537. Again, this is Rebecca B. in Ohio, that's Eastern Standard, 440-567-6537 for a brand new newcomer. Thanks.
Hi, can I go?
Yeah.
Okay, hi, Kelly, compulsive overeater in California, 2 hour HAL sponsor. I came to OA in 2019 in October, no, 2018 October. My abstinent date is February 27, 2019, and I am maintaining 70-pound weight loss only through HAL. So I don't have any openings. Kelly in Southern California. Thanks, pass.
Hey, Any sponsors on the phone that want to say hello, add to the sponsor line. Press star 6 to unmute.
This is Abby B in Maryland. Yes, my current abstinence dates to January 20th of this year. I've been 70 pounds heavier and about 10 pounds lighter. Thanks.
Hi there, can I be heard?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hi, it's Revy Tal calling in from Toronto. Gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict, sponsor in the 2-hour OA How program. Walked into OA in 2004, introduced into 2-hour OA How program rooms on May 23rd of 2017, and abstinent since then. I do not have any openings, but grateful to be here tonight. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, clay feet. We should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal and mark her or him out as a perfect OA. It is not fair to the person to be singled out in this fashion, and if the person is wise, he or she will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are all only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we have been in OA or OA How, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. All right, and the next tool is anonymity, and that's the one I'm taking for today. So hi, my name is Rebecca B., compulsive overeater in Ohio. Anonymity. Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we will place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication means that we never allow our faces or last names to be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear at meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It is not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or to other service officers of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12th step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12th step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to omit specific personal information. If their disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may in effect help kill them and their anonymity. Anonymity is part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time, honestly, who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go, without fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have no fear of being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing where we are not told what we did wrong. We come into OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We are supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain, and we are lovingly told, your secrets are safe. Come share our recovery on a threefold level, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers. Please join us. However, if you decide that our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. Whom you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here. In the meetings, we would all say, hear, hear. So here, I'm here. Sure you're all doing that right now. Thank you, Howard. All right, I'll set my clock there. Anonymity for me is most important because of that concept of principles before personalities. It's not just the idea that I remain, no one outside the rooms knows who I am and I don't, you know, look in, when I'm in the store and I see someone I know from program, that I don't, you know, stop and say hello if they're with someone else, or however, you know, they want to do that. You know, you don't necessarily do that. But it's more than that. It's that principles before personalities. And I think anonymity is a real unifying force within the fellowship. It's just the idea that it doesn't matter who I am, whether I pick my nose, whether I scratch my head as I'm, you know, here on camera. It's because we're all here for the same thing, and that's the recovery that we find in these rooms and in the 12 steps and 12 traditions. And that's what's most important, is the principles, and that the programs stay alive. And I'm sure that's why, at least in part, why all of us are here, and, you know, the night like tonight, Christmas Eve, or middle of Hanukkah, I think, too. And we're all here because we need each other. And without that level of anonymity, there's just no way of functioning, let alone recovering and staying in recovery and abstaining. So with that, I'll pass. Our next tool is telephone calls. Do we have anyone for telephone calls?
Hi, Kelly, compulsive overeater in California. Telephone calls, and Rebecca, thanks for holding it down. Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. The telephones is the means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard to handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link. Sorry, that's my dog, to our sponsors, and as part of the surrender process, is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend the same help to others. In OA, we are asked to make at least 4 telephone calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. So I am calling in this meeting on my phone. You know, when they say the telephone is the lifeline, it is. I came to OA in 2013, and I did the program without the big book and without a phone. And I remember the first time I made an outreach call in OA, the lady said, "Oh, I bet that phone weighed 500 pounds. And it did. It was so hard. But that was probably the first and only call I made in OA. I just didn't use the phone. So when I started having, you know, the buildup of everyday human emotions, I was getting restless, irritable, and discontent, and I didn't have any outlet. I wasn't working the tools. I wasn't using the phone or the big book or anything. So it was no surprise when I picked up and picked up the food, but not picked up the phone. So I hadn't built my tribe, and, you know, and then pretty soon I was out of ideas, and I came crawling into how. So today I like to reframe and think how lucky I am to call people and to use my telephone. And I'll tell you 2 experiences of how, where the phone has come to mind. The first is when I first came to how. I left the hotel. I was on a trip in Santa Cruz with my family, and my phone was like at 20%, and I was brand new to how, and I didn't have anyone's phone numbers, and we were going to be going someplace I wasn't going to have cell reception. And I remember thinking, this is not going to end well. I didn't have the printout Excel spreadsheet. You know, we stand on the shoulders of giants. Everything people share and say what to do, they teach it to us, so we don't have to learn the hard way. So I ended up scribbling down some numbers. Someone suggested putting your sponsor's number and someone close to you's phone. You know, that's a great idea. I haven't done that yet. But I put some notes on a piece of paper just in case. I know I can find people from the WhatsApp group or the Telegram or Facebook or anything, but should I not have a phone, it's nice to know I have it on a piece of paper in my wallet. Now, if I don't have my wallet, okay, that's another story. And the other thing I want to say about the phone is I had to go to the ER in September, and my cell phone was dead. And my mother-in-law came to visit me in the hospital, and I said, "Can you get my cell phone charger?" Because I knew I was going to need it to make my outreach calls and to figure out how I was going to figure out not having dinner long story, but the phone saved me every time. It saves me today calling in on this meeting. It saves me by hookup calls. I'm building my tribe. They say the phone's going to weigh 500 pounds or me. And for today, I'll pick up that heavy phone. And just so grateful for the technology today. And just a little tip, make sure your phone's charged because you know on how we're always on the phone. And that's all I have. Thank you. Pass.
Okay, next up is meetings. I believe that will be Kirsten P. Kirsten, you out there? Tool of meetings. Oh, there you are. We can see you.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Kirsten, a critical level food addict and happy to be here. And I have meetings. Meetings are gatherings of two or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we receive through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to the meeting. Though there are many types of meetings or kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all. As HAL members, we attend at least one HAL meeting a week. And I'm just very grateful to be here at this meeting tonight. There's a lot of different types of meetings. We have phone meetings. We have this beautiful virtual meeting. I'm sitting down in my woman cave with a virtual, my backyard in the background. And I'm just wanting to talk a little bit about my first meeting. I came to my first meeting in rather resigned agony. I was at my bottom. I didn't know I was at my bottom, but it was a very good place to be. That first meeting was pivotal for my recovery because I found out what was wrong with me. After decades of eating, I didn't really truly know what was wrong with me. And it was explained to me that I had an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind, and that it was a fatal illness. And I was already half dead, my spirit, my emotions, and my body was very unhealthy, and I had been binging, and I was bulimic, and I restricted. I did everything. And so I walked into that meeting on a Wednesday night, and I learned that I was on a collision course with that would have a serious outcome. But also at the very same meeting, it was presented to me something that worked, and I knew that it worked. It worked for many people, but I was going to have to get busy. I was told I was going to have to get busy. I thought if I went there, maybe somebody would just fix me. I wanted to be fixed really badly, and I wanted to be thin, but I found out that I had a job to do. And I'm so grateful. Our meetings are very informational. We don't have to wonder about what to do next. We have somebody, if we get our sponsor, we have somebody that will take our hand and hold that hand. And at our meetings, we say, it works when you work it. And I learned that my compulsion to eat once I started was not because I was a weak person or I had weak willpower. It was because I was an addict. Now, no one likes to think of themselves as an addict, but I was one. And every day for decades before I found this wonderful program, I thought I could stop. And I couldn't stop. But what I told myself is I will stop tomorrow. And I ate that way for decades. OA HAL was the last thing I tried, and it was the first thing that worked. And it's given me so many blessings. I have friends. I've had friends. I've kept friends for 18 years. I have a lot of freedom. I have a higher power of my understanding. I have better family relations. I've forgiven people, and I've allowed people to forgive me. I'm not a hot mess anymore. I'm calm most of the time. And my journey began at my first meeting, and I'm grateful today that I no longer have to be that lone wolf. I'm very grateful that I have so many people in recovery. I just love my fellows, and I'm very grateful for all of you. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Great, thank you so much. Next we have literature and writing. Is there anyone in the room or on the phone who would like to, a sponsor, OA How To Hour sponsor, I should say, that would like to talk about literature and writing?
Carrie will.
Great, thanks Carrie.
Literature tool number 6. We study the textbook Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another book to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and compulsive eating for our words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We can also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions for Today, the daily daily meditation, and Lifeline, our Journal of Recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths that we have found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that gives insight to our problem, as well as strength to deal with it, and very real hope that there is a solution for us. Writing. In addition to writing our inventories and a list of people we have harmed, most of us found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further, putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper, describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in the way that is not often revealed to us by simply thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easy to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary action. All right, I'm gonna timekeep myself here. I am dyslexic, so I had a hard time with the readings. The Big Book is big, that's why they call it the Big Book. And so what I found was that on YouTube, there's any of the readings that you wanna read, or somebody has spoken them out loud on YouTube, so I can listen to them on YouTube, and then also follow along in my Big Book. So that is very much, that's very helpful to me, because it makes it easier to read. Writing, I thought that writing would be awful because I've never done a journal in my entire life. I've tried to write a journal, but it never really worked very well until I got in the program and somebody tells me you need to write a journal. So I guess I'm okay at following directions, but my self-will I don't have very much self-will. So I have done the writings and honestly, the 70 questions, some days I remained abstinent because I didn't want to do those 70 questions over again for the writing that we had to do. So, because I thought some of the questions were pretty painful, but somebody just said, just write them, just write, no matter what you write, just write. And so that is what I did, and I followed instruction. So I read and I wrote, and it's been life-changing. The amount I've written over the past 90 days has been pretty incredible. I didn't ever think that I could write this much. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Carrie. Next we have service. I believe Kelly F. is up for service.
Okay, I signed up when no one else was signed up. Is there anyone else who wants to jump in? Okay, Kelly, compulsive overeater in Southern California, and of course the dog is gonna need to get let out. Okay, carrying the message to the service. Carrying the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers is the basic purpose of our fellowship, and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in a group or for OA as a whole are ways in which we give back to what we have been generously given. Do what you can when you can. A life of sane and happy useful is that we are promised as a result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise. Always extend the hand and heart of OA to those who share my compulsion. For this, I am responsible. And I'm going to be of service and open the door for my dog. Bye, Chloe. Go get him. Oh, there's Snickers. Here's another one. Okay. So, Kelly, never a dull moment over here. So, service. I have heard the best way I can give service is by keeping my own abstinence. And I love to say that no one is responsible for my own abstinence, only me and God. But that's first and foremost how I give service. Giving service is pitching on a tool or multiple, being on this meeting, welcoming newcomers, opening the door for the two dogs. This is what keeps our program going. I am so sorry. Life on life's terms. This is what keeps our program going, is each of us giving service. And in the big book, when Ebby came to visit Bill in his kitchen, you know, that was giving service. He came to share his message of experience, strength, and hope. There's so many ways of giving service. This meeting behind the scenes is so much work. So thank you for everyone giving service tonight. Even if you're just listening, you're being of service as well. So by pitching on a tool, by doing a reading, by clapping for chips or medallions, I always say another way to give service is from the chapter A Vision for You that says, ask how we can help the man who's still sick. The answers will come if our own house is in order. So in my prayer meditation, I do a moment of silence for those suffering, because I know someone did that for me when I was in the room still suffering. So giving service, we give service by making calls and taking calls, by temping someone, being a sponsor, even being a sponsee, you're allowing your sponsor to carry the message. And you know, nothing ensures immunity, you know, as working with others. So there's so many ways to give service. For today, I'm grateful that on Christmas Eve, I get to be with you guys, my family, my spiritual tribe. And I don't see the timer. So I think do what you can when you can. Sometimes it's a lot, sometimes it's a little. But all of us, by our service, we just keep these meetings going and this life, life support system of recovery going as each of us extends to be of service to other people. So that's what I got. Thank you.
Thanks, Kelly. Okay. So will all people doing service for OA at any level, please stand and applaud your service. Yes, I'm applauding for you all because we are all doing service by being here tonight. Okay.
Yay.
If you have not yet added your information to the chat for our We Care book, please take a moment to do so now so we can add it to the book here in the room. We will keep the We Care book circulating until everyone has had an opportunity to sign it. The folder will continue to circulate for the duration of the meeting so that everyone may take names and phone numbers for their personal contacts. Enter your email in the chat to receive the list. Is there anyone who has not yet signed the We Care book, either in the room or in the chat box? Please do so now. The Minnesota OA How Live meeting is a friendly place and we want to get to know each other. If you are here with us for the first time today in the meeting room, will you please stand and introduce yourself by first name only? I don't think there's anyone in the meeting room. If you are attending for the first time virtually, please turn on your video and unmute your line or press *6 on your telephone's keypad. Anyone here for the first time or new to program who wants to say hello? Okay, and I don't believe we have a treasurer's report tonight, but our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment, enhance our website, make it accessible to individuals who are deaf or anyone using ASL, refine the technology, develop other live OA face-to-face groups, and more. A basket will be passed for those in the room, and for those joining virtually, you may go to mnhowlive.org. That's mnhowlive.org to donate. All right, I'm going to read the promises for you all. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we've never been able to do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. And those are found in the AA Big Book, page 83 to 84. Okay, any announcements? I'll go first in the room, or and then anyone virtually or star six on the phones. Any announcements? Hearing none. Literature and books, newcomer and sponsor materials are located at the virtual intergroups resource page at www.oahowphonemeetings.com. That's www.oahowphonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at bookstore.oa.org. It is now time for medallions. At How meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery for those working the How program. All other OA abstinence is given a round of applause. Anyone joining us virtually may also request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. Okay, so at this point in the meeting, if I were in Minnesota, I would be shaking that box of all the medallions that we'd love to hand out to everyone. So I'm going to start at the top and work my way down. Ah, yes, I can see you. Thank you. Is there anyone on the line tonight who is celebrating this week? Let's go with 15 years or more of back-to-back abstinence. Anyone 10 years or more back-to-back abstinence being celebrated tonight? 5 years or more? How about 3 years or more back-to-back abstinence? 2 years. How about 18 months, year and a half? Anyone celebrating a year or more of abstinence back-to-back this week? Or recently, you know, I'll take it. Anyone celebrating 6 months or more of back-to-back abstinence?
This is Chaya P. in Denver, Colorado, and I just celebrated 6 months on the 20th.
Oh, wonderful. Congratulations. So if you would like a chip, we can definitely send that to you. If you put your address in the chat box to MNHowLive, then we can go about getting you one. You don't have to send it to everybody if you don't want to, just the private message to them. That'll work. All right. That's awesome. Thank you so much. All right. That was 6 months. Anyone with 90 days or more, 3 months or more, back-to-back abstinence. I'm sorry. Oh, Carrie. Wonderful. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Treat yourself to a chip of the round variety. all right, so that was 90 days. We have anyone with 60 days of back-to-back abstinence? 60 days or more? How about 30 days or more? Star six to unmute. Turn on your camera. 30 days or more being celebrated this week. Okay, so I think our last chip is the chip of desire. Now, I've heard this described a million different ways, but what I like best about the idea behind the chip of desire is there's something here tonight that is giving you hope, giving you a new way of thinking, a new something to think about. And it's something you want to hold on to, that new something. So we have a physical chip that we can make sure we mail to you. If anyone is interested in a chip of desire, either because they're new or because they want to renew their program, any reason like that is a good enough reason for us. So any takers for a chip of desire? All right, well, we do have a step up this evening. At this point in our meeting, we ask the group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracles that abound in OA. The stepping up portion of the meeting asks a sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence, who has completed the first three steps of the program, and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At OA How meetings, new sponsors are presented with a cactus plant to signify the tough love of the program. Stick with the stickers, remember to drink your water, and a reminder that we don't water down the program. And I believe we do have one step up. So if anyone else is helping with a step up, can get themselves assembled. Who was our step up this evening? Oh, Carrie in the room. Okay, great.
I feel like it's the Carrie show tonight.
Couldn't do it without you. Wouldn't want to do it without you. So, all right. Before you, you have five candles: truth, reality, surrender, acceptance, and knowledge. OA offers each of us a wonderful opportunity to develop and hasten an attitude change known as ego reduction. The use of these disciplines of weighing and measuring, phone calls, reporting to sponsors, and attending meetings all combine to reinforce our growth in OA. Action is the magic word. Until we so humble ourselves through these acts, there is no evidence of our ego reduction or our surrender to anyone or anything outside of ourselves. Each candle signifies a step toward arresting the progression of our disease. The first two represent truth and reality. Without these two qualities, we would not be recovering compulsive overeaters. So, Carrie, I have candle number one, even though there's two flames here, but candle number one. The candle of truth is the keynote of those who strive to stop the advancement of compulsive overeating. It is the unrelenting force that permits no double standard. Its attainment brings the satisfaction of inward peace. We must fearlessly face the truth to avoid the ever-present pitfall of self-deception. Turn it over to candle number two.
Carrie, congratulations. This is the candle of reality, and it is a new light. It opens the door to a new life. It holds a promise of new understanding. It offers a chance for personal renewal. It makes a statement that goes beyond fantasy, and it holds a dream of a better tomorrow. Without the light of reality, we are destined to remain in that sick, shadowy world of past mistakes and unrealistic dreams of false tomorrows. Congratulations.
Candle three.
Carrie, this is the candle of surrender. In OA, surrender is the first and most important act necessary to launching you into the other steps. Without the surrender of your food, your ego, and your will, all else is hopeless. When you surrender, you suspend such negative emotions as disbelief and grandiosity, and you open yourself up to the process of learning who you are and where you fit into the scheme of things.
Candle four.
Hi, Carrie. Here's candle four for you. An honor to be doing this with you tonight, sister. Candle four, this is the candle of acceptance. Without acceptance, you could have not come this far. Acceptance is seeing things as they really are. Acceptance is understanding that we have spent our lives denouncing everything, and now we must open up our hearts as well as our minds and accept. We must accept the will of God, accept that only He can restore us to sanity. Congratulations, Carrie.
Thank you. And candle five, Howard, for you in the room?
Go ahead.
Okay. All right. I got it. Carrie, candle five. This is the candle of knowledge, and it opens the door wide. We now know that God is on our side. We can see and hear his pronouncements in our lives. We recognize what it is that we may do and what only he can do. We acknowledge that the greatest gift he has given us is knowing ourselves. Even the newest of newcomers finds undreamed rewards as he tries to help his brother alcoholic, the one who is even blinder than he. This is indeed the kind of giving that actually demands nothing. He does not expect his brother sufferer to pay him or even to love him. And then he discovers that by the divine paradox of this kind of giving, he has found his own reward, whether his brother has yet received anything or not. His own character may still be gravely defective, but he somehow knows that God has enabled him to make a mighty beginning, and he senses that he stands at the edge of new mysteries, joys, and experiences of which he had never even dreamed. Practically every AA or OA member declares that no satisfaction has been deeper and no joy greater than in a 12th step job well done. To watch the eyes of men and women with wonder as they move from darkness into light, to see their lives quickly fill with new purpose and meaning, to see whole families reassembled, to see the alcoholic outcast received back into his community in full citizenship, and above all, to watch these people awaken to the presence of a loving God in their lives. These things are the substance of what we receive as we carry the message to the next alcoholic compulsive overeater. Congratulations, Carrie.
Congratulations, Carrie. Welcome
glad
to the sponsor life.
Us. All right. Go Team Tuesday. All right. Anniversaries. Birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence. At anniversaries, a candle is lit at the beginning of the meeting. We invite the person who is celebrating an anniversary to come to the front of the room for an anniversary reading. Are there any anniversaries? We just went over the medallion line, but I don't think anyone signed up either for an anniversary. All right. Virtual attendees may sign up to celebrate your step-ups or anniversaries via the link on our website. And the time is now 9:24. The leader now qualifies for 10 minutes. Howard, I'm not sure we have 10 minutes. We have maybe... No, I think we could do 10. All right, well...
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Hopefully I can do it, guys. Don't know. We'll give it a try. So, my name is Rebecca B, and I'm from the Cleveland, Ohio area, actually halfway between Cleveland and Akron, where Dr. Bob and Bill W. met, you know, Akron of the Big Book. I'm 30 minutes away from Dr. Bob's house, and I've never been there. So that's on my bucket list for next year. And I want to talk tonight about why I came to OA how. When I started OA about 5 years ago, I am 5'6", 5'7"-ish. I weighed, gosh, over 250, probably 260 pounds, because after I stopped weighing myself at 240, I jumped another size and a half. There was just no stopping my weight gain. I can show you stretch marks that just are not those little white lines you see on pregnant women. It's like my skin could not stretch fast enough. That's how fast I was gaining weight when I first came into regular OA. And I'm so grateful for that program and that meeting that I went to on a Thursday night. I really am. But once I lost the 110 pounds I had to lose, you know, the first 2 years, I was started slowly sliding away from program. And I like to call it, I snowballed into a full-blown relapse. You know, calling my sponsor like we do every day now is something I never would have done. I think I did that for my first month of regular OA, and then it just stopped happening. I definitely just wasn't keeping up with my sponsor unless I saw them at a meeting. And I went to plenty of meetings. That's how I really kept myself going in that first year, was going to multiple in-person meetings a week, no matter how far I had to drive for them. I mean, I'm very lucky that the Cleveland, Ohio area, really Northeast Ohio, has over 48 meetings in a given week in person, but none of them are OA How. You know, and I was listening to the podcast, I was doing all kinds of things, but I stopped doing all those things. And then I got married, then I moved, and you know, life started happening, and I stopped doing program. And it took me 2.5 years almost, is what I figure. 2 years, I think, to come out of that relapse. It's funny because I can still say that I've never had a brownie. I haven't had a brownie in 5 years. I haven't had any kind of the traditional junk food, no birthday cake. I didn't have cake at my own wedding. You know, he fed me a strawberry. I smashed some cake in his face. It was great. but I never went that low, but I was still managed to gain 70 pounds on things like chai tea lattes at Starbucks with, you know, no whipped cream, lower sugar content, because I hadn't outlawed sugar, just recreational sugar is what I like to call it. But that became a real slippery slope. And, you know, give me an inch and I'll take a mile is really what I found out about myself in that relapse. I gained that 70 pounds back on things like meal bars and peanut buttery things and vanilla flavored things, but drinks mostly. And it was awful. It really was. It was a very hopeless state of being. And it wasn't until I found what is my second fellowship that I really had the hope that, yeah, there is something to these 12 steps. You know, if I do it, it works. And that's when I started kind of trying to crawl out of relapse. I didn't really have a sponsor. My last sponsor in regular OA was telling me you can't go backwards in the steps and all this stuff. And it's like, it wasn't working for me to stay on, I think it was step 8 or 9 is where I was, because I knew I wasn't abstinent. I knew I didn't have anything to offer. But I never stopped going to meetings. And once I found that hope, again, I started doing what I could to figure out what it was going to take to keep me abstinent, to keep me out of the food, keep the cravings out of my brain, more importantly. That's another thing. When I was 260 pounds, 5'6", you know, above a size 20, I'm going around every doctor I can find. That's at least 6 different specialists and God, I don't even remember who else. Spent a lot of money on doctors trying to figure out, like, I don't care if I ever lose another pound. I just need to stop thinking about food is what I was telling them. And they didn't get it. Not the way all of you do, you know. That was the biggest miracle, I think, just knowing that I was not the only one who thought like this, not just ate like this. I mean, that, you know, heck, half of America eats how we eat. They just don't know it yet. But it's what was in my head that was killing me. But yeah, jumping forward again, sorry. When I was trying to come back to program, I was doing things like listening to phone meetings around the clock, like almost literally around the clock. There was a phone meeting happening almost 24 hours a day, some time zone or another. And usually it's even in English, which is a blessing. Don't get me wrong. It is a blessing. But you know what? That only works for so long. And first it worked for me for a week. You know, I'd be able to lower the amount of meetings I was doing and I could put together a week of abstinence, right? And that's a good thing. That's amazing. But it wouldn't stick. And then suddenly it was only 3 days of abstinence. And then it was one day. And then by God, I was eating during the meetings. And that's what I swore I'd never do, right? If I'm in a meeting, I can't eat. Well, you know, that wasn't working for me. I tried working the steps without a sponsor. That didn't work for me either. you know, just doing the step one step work. Didn't do a thing for me. In listening to people who had recovery on the lines, I knew that I should be working the tools more. I knew that I needed to grab on a program somewhere. I just didn't know where yet. And it's probably some length of time in that 6 month period of me going back and forth from trying this, trying that, to having a sponsor on the phone lines, having a different sponsor from the phone lines, trying to talk to people in person, and, you know, things like that. You know, and I got to say, people, if you're ever wondering what kind of sponsor you should have, and, well, they say, take a look at who has what you want and ask them how they've achieved it. Well, the other way of thinking about it is, if someone comes by and offers you a lifeboat, you get in the lifeboat. It doesn't matter what color it is or whether it reads, in my case, does I wanted to go through the OA 12 and 12, not just the AA material like my last sponsor had. Like I knew anything. I thought that was going to cure me. And nothing, I'm not saying anything against the OA materials, because they have been instrumental in my recovery and how as well. But working that alone wasn't going to do anything for me, and it wasn't going to matter what it was. I just had to grab back on. And I found myself really at the bottom of the barrel one night. I had gotten fired the Friday before, and I think it was a Tuesday or a Wednesday, something middle of the week. I'm listening to that night meet eight to 10 Eastern HOW meeting. And, it's funny. Someone actually said, yeah, I've got an opening. And that person was also the newcomer greeter. And I wrote down the number, and I actually announced myself and said, you know, this is something I really should be doing. And it made sense to me, you know, as they went through all the tools, was like, well, you know, calling people every day, that would help. I know that, like, logically, each thing that we do every day made tons of sense to me. And I was open to that. So it looks like I have 1 minute left. And I guess that's the way I grabbed back onto program, was jumping in with both feet, grabbing on for dear life. What do they say? Working with your hair, working it like your hair is on fire. There's a million ways of saying it, but it all boils down to the same thing, is I'm doing as much as I can every day for this program, for each of you, as much as I am for myself, because our lives depend on it. And with that, I will pass. I would like to introduce, I believe it was Haya, our guest who qualifies for 20 minutes.
No, it's Jane.
Oh gosh, Jane. Okay. I saw somebody else. All right. All right. So Jane, you there?
I'm mute now.
Great. We can hear and see you. Thank you so much.
Hey.
Yep.
Awesome. I'm going to cover up my face here so I can't see myself. I'm Jane, compulsive overeater. I'm up here in Canada on the West Coast, and I'm really happy to be speaking tonight. I just started being a sponsor. I'm about day like 94 or something like that, so 3 months. I can start saying months now. I don't have to say days anymore, I think. I'll tell you a bit of my story. So I came into Alcoholics Anonymous almost exactly 11 years ago. My 11 year will be December 28th. And I was somebody who came in and didn't relapse. I became sober from alcohol immediately. And about 3 years into AA, I realized I had a problem with food. Before I continue, I should say my Wi-Fi is a little sketchy tonight. It's kind of kicked me out of here a couple times, so hopefully it won't. But if I disappear, I'm coming right back. About year three in AA, I realized that I had begun kind of treading water a little bit in that program again, and my life had become just really working, going to meetings, and eating, buying cookbooks, buying food appliances, going to weight loss programs with women in AA, doing cleanses, just so much revolving around nutrition and food and eating. And I was watching that habit grow like an obsession. And a few people I knew had joined OA. And so I thought I would check it out. And so I went to a meeting, and I kind of saw that maybe I can sort of take what I want and leave the rest. And so I didn't get a sponsor in OA, but I enjoyed the meetings. I didn't do the steps. I went to meetings for 3 months, and I lost about 20 pounds. Oh, and I can show you, I have a picture of what the size that I was around then. So this is me wearing big baggy stuff with no waistline. And that was my pre-AA attitude. this is more of what I look like now. This is probably my weight now. So my top weight has been probably around 185, 190, and I'm 5'6". And currently weigh 150. I was 160 when I came into HAL. I've weighed less. After my 3 months in Overeaters Anonymous, I was down to 138, I think, which is actually right in the middle of the 5 pound weight range that my nutritionist has given me. I felt amazing, and I was abstinent. I felt great. I wasn't bothered by food, and I was at some function, and my sister was there, and she was asking me, you know, how do you do it? And I said, oh, it's easy. I just, you know, I go to these meetings and da da da. And at that point, some food item passed my view and was offered to me, and I said yes, and then I ate it, and I lost my abstinence. And for a number of years, I tried to claw my way back, and I really hit a bottom and came into OA again. And trying to get my memory straight on how things worked. Anyway, I ended up getting 2 years of back-to-back abstinence in regular OA because I had a sponsor, because I did the steps, because I also had a food buddy, which is much like how we sponsor in 2-Hour HAL, where I would tell this person, though it was through text, everything I would eat that day, and I would call her or text her if anything went sideways. And I did that through my 2 years of abstinence. And in that 2 years, my life got really big. I met my husband, I got engaged to my husband. We got married. We moved to a different city. I bought my first house. I started a new career, like huge things in my life. All of that abstinent, all of that like supported the program. And in the new town that I moved to, there was no OA meeting. And the AA sponsor that I picked up here said, well, why don't you start one? I have eating disorder. I will be in the meeting too. And so we started the meeting, and it's been going for 2 years now here, but it didn't really suffice. There was a lot of, living in the problem and not in the solution in that meeting. I think the most abstinence I was able to maintain was 8 months, but I was still a little crazy during that time, I think, with food. And so I did things like I went to the OA birthday party last year, and I would meet speakers in workshops and sort of learn how they did things. And I met a few people who do the HAL program. and I would ask them about it. And I remember I sort of like look back and I think about 8 months ago, I started to consider weighing and measuring food and what that would look like in my life. And I started asking people about how they did it. And I began to be willing to maybe try that. But the phone calls were too much and the reading and writing and all that stuff, couldn't do it. And then about probably 2 months later, I started to consider maybe the phone calls are a good idea. And, you know, like I could get a calling plan that would allow me to call the States cheaper. And anyway, so I started to become slowly willing to do more and more of the things. And before I came into HAL for about 3 weeks or a month, I would haunt this meeting and kind of listen to what was going on exactly. Like, what are these people doing? And the more I heard it, the more I became willing to consider trying it. And I made sure that when I started HAL, I had all my ducks in a row. So I had a US calling plan, and I had, I knew that I could attend this meeting once a week. And I got a scale, and I got a backup scale, and I got a nutritionist, and, you know, a water bottle, and just all those things. And I became really prepared to try to be as successful as I could. And I started in, and I used the temporary sponsoring at first because I didn't have a sponsor. So I used WhatsApp a lot. I love WhatsApp. And now the Telegram is really good too. I got a temporary sponsor, and now I have a sponsor I've been working with for about 2.5 months. So today, I think what I find today when I work this program, what I notice is I have lost some weight. So I've lost about, I don't know, 10 or 15 pounds. I don't know, I haven't weighed myself yet this month. But the bigger sort of gift is that my anxiety and my fear around life has diminished quite a bit. So my career that I got into in sobriety was as a teacher. And because I'm in a new town, I start as a supply teacher or a teacher on call. So every day I walk into a new situation, kindergarten, high school calculus, I never know what it's gonna be. And say yes to every call unless it's like shop where I might be injured. But high school phys ed, I do it all. And there's a lot of anxiety that used to go with that. And now I just walk in and I feel like this is cool. This is, I don't know, this I find ways to connect and I'm not as anxious. I have calls I can make throughout the day that I can talk about my anxiety when it comes up. I can ask people questions about how do you go to restaurants and how do you go away on a business trip and all those sorts of things. And I get all kinds of creative answers, and the fear around doing this program gets less and less. And I just love that we are connected all over the world. I mean, a lot of times I compare HAL to AA in positive ways. When I was at Overeaters Anonymous, I really wanted to have the same experience that AA gave me, in that my obsession was removed so quickly and my life improved so fast and got big and connected to all these people. And in regular OA, it didn't happen like that. It wasn't the same thing. But in HAL, it was really close to that. I came in, I got abstinent, and I was relieved of the obsession, and my life is getting bigger, and I am now connected to HOW members, two-hour HOW members all over the world who some of them I talk to daily or every couple of days in places I can't even imagine what it's like. So it's just really, really cool. I often have said in the other program that if ever I'm feeling lonely or disconnected and it's close to the top of the hour, I think there are millions of people all over the world right now saying the Serenity Prayer and holding hands. And that just makes me feel so connected and good. So I will give you my number and my name. So I'm Jane again, and my number is 250-913-0319. I am now a sponsor. However, I do have a sponsee, and at this point, I'm just going to have the one sponsee and help on the temporary sponsor front. But I'm always available for a hookup call or temporary sponsor or whatever like that. And just want to really thank this meeting for being here, because I don't know that I could have done it without this meeting. And I did get my my little 2-month chip today in the mail, so that's pretty cool. Hopefully there might be a 3 on the way. And with that, I think I will pass. Thank you so much. And happy holidays, everybody.
Thanks, Jane. The floor is now open for 3-minute pitches or sharing. In HOW meetings, we share our experience, strength, and hope. No one is prohibited from sharing, but we ask that you focus on the solution. All pitches should be of a positive nature in which you share your growth and recovery. All other issues can be worked out over the phone or after the meeting. Would someone care to pitch? Virtual sharing can be done by turning on your camera and unmuting yourself. Or if you're on the phone, *6. Anyone care to pitch? Any takers? We've got 5 minutes, 6 minutes actually, yeah. Okay, well, I guess if no one wants to pitch, then I can wrap it up. Okay, well, I want to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting today. I also thank all those who participated, especially our speaker, Jane, who offered so much of herself. May we please have the reading of, I'm sorry?
Yay.
Yes, yay, Jane, I agree. May we please have the reading of Just for Today? We had someone signed up for Just for Today, I thought.
I think she might not be on the phone.
Okay. Well, take it away, Carrie.
All right. Hello, my name is Carrie, and I am a new sponsor, so I have an opening. Just for today, I will live through this day only, not tackling my whole life problems at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt like I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said, that most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in 3 ways.
I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do two things I don't want to do, just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour, sometime, I will try to get a better perspective of my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me.
Thanks, Carrie.
All right, thanks, Carrie. For those joining us in person, I would like to ask for your help in putting away the equipment and bringing this room back to its original setup after we have concluded our closing prayer. Thanks for your help with this. And seriously, Howard and Carrie, thank you. Thank you to everyone. We would also like to thank our skilled interpreters for helping us to reach even more people who struggle with this disease. And in closing, to those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should safely remain here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove compulsion in time and give you contentment in all areas of life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to, please join in to say the Serenity Prayer. Those attending virtually, please unmute yourselves. And let's pray for those who are still suffering in and out of these rooms.
God,
grant me the serenity to accept something
I cannot
change.
Courage to change the things I can,
and the wisdom to know the difference.
Thy will, not mine, be done.
Amen.
Thank you, Rebecca.
All right. Thanks, Kelly. Thanks, Jane. Glad to have you guys in the room. Everyone
thank you,
else,
Rebecca.
Kirsten, thank you.
Thanks, everybody.